Pretty joyful. Pretty joyful. Well, we're glad you're here today, and we want to pray together as we begin our worship time, and thank you for joining us. Let's pray. Lord, this is just an awesome day, and as people are gathering to worship you right now, maybe others are on their way, give them safe travels. Thank you for bringing everyone here together. Those who are watching on Facebook Live, we pray for them as well, and we lift up this time to you. Take the music, the message, the fellowship, every part of this service, Lord, and may it honor you in great ways. We love you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, church. It's great to see you once again, to have you with us here to worship the Lord. It is Christmas time, and last week we started encouraging you guys to begin inviting people to our Christmas Eve service. We watched a video last week. It was kind of on the humorous side to show us that actually we can invite people to come. It's not that hard, but I want to show you one a little more serious this morning where you will see people like this individual who really do want us to invite them, because they realize they're missing something. Well, what city in America, do a little brain teaser here, what city in America do you think is the most sunny city? Any guesses? What state might it be in? Wrong. Anybody? Arizona. Actually, Yuma, Arizona is the most sunny city in America. Which city in America in the lower 48 states do you think is the least sunny city? Seattle, Washington. They have more clouds and more days of rain than any other city in our nation. On average, the holy city, Charleston, enjoys 230 days of sunshine each year. And the average growing season in Charleston is 10 months. I love living in Charleston, don't you? As people, we generally like sunshine better than clouds and rain. There's a saying that goes, all sunshine and no rain makes a desert. What this means is if you don't have any down times, dark times, gloomy times in your life, you're going to dry up. You won't grow. You won't have maturity in your life. It's the combination of good times and bad times that help us grow immaturity. Now, life is a mixture of pleasure and pain, victory and defeat, mountaintops and valleys. So this morning, I want to share a message with you entitled, Making It Through the Dark Valleys at Christmas. If you do have your bulletins, do take the outline out. You can follow along as we go. You can fill it in. Making It Through the Dark Valleys at Christmas. Because it is challenging to get through the Christmas season when you've gone through some dark valleys in your life, when you've experienced some losses, especially brought on or exasperated by the coronavirus, lost connection with others, with people, with family routines, the smiles of others that we can't see because of that mask. We've become faceless enigmas in our society. Maybe you've lost peace of mind. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've lost a loved one. I want you to look at this verse in Psalm 23. David says in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In Israel, there is a real valley called the shadow of death. It's a canyon that's very steep and narrow. The sun only hits the bottom when it is directly above that canyon. The rest of the time, the bottom of that canyon is dark and cold. David very well may have led his sheep through the valley of the shadow of death when he was a shepherd boy. In the Bible, the term valley can refer to all kinds of rough, difficult, trying times in life. I put a few of them there on your outline. There is the valley of calamity. Calamity is an event that's marked by greatness and lasting distress. stress in life. The valley of calamity leads to the valley of weeping, where you cry. And sometimes you cry so much you can't cry any longer. And then there is the valley of trouble and the valley of deep darkness. To me, that sounds like some type of emotional issue, maybe even a deep clinical depression. How do you handle these dark valleys of life, especially at Christmas time when everything is upbeat, everything is happy, everything is joyful? But maybe you're struggling inside. How do you go through those times? So let me give you some things, first of all, to remember when you're going through the dark valleys of life. First, remember that valleys are inevitable. They are inevitable. Valleys are a part of life. Everyone in this room has either come out of a valley, you're in a valley, or you're headed for another valley. It's part of life. John 16:33 says, "In this world, you will have trouble." He says, "You will have trouble." The question is not if I will go through a valley, it's when will I go through a valley. You're going to have disappointments, difficulties, discouragements. There will be times of suffering, sickness, and sorrow. Don't be surprised by the valleys you go through. They are inevitable. Remember, folks, we live in a broken world. We live on Earth's side of heaven. As perfect as things are in heaven, they are imperfect on the earth. Secondly, what else can you remember in dark valleys? You remember that valleys are unpredictable. They're unpredictable. Jeremiah 4:20 says this, "Disaster follows disaster. In an instant, my tents are destroyed. My shelter falls in a moment." Folks, you can't tell with any accuracy when the valleys are going to be coming your way. Sometimes you may be expecting them. Sometimes they hit you out of the blue. They catch you off guard. Valleys are typically unexpected and uninvited guests in our lives that show up at the worst possible time. Is there ever a good time to have a flat tire? I heard this commercial on the radio where a lady is driving down the road, and all of a sudden it says, she gets a little phone call, and it says, "Ma'am, this is your left rear tire. I just want you to know it's going to burst in 45 minutes. And she says, well, can you hold off for a little while? No, when a tire is scheduled to burst, it's going to burst. The valleys are unpredictable. Number three, valleys are impartial. They are impartial. This means no one is immune to them. No one is insulated from them. No one is protected from them. When you have valleys in your life, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you're a person. You're a human like the rest of us. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:45. He said, "It rains on the just and the unjust too." When we go through difficult times, one question I think we ask is, why me? But realizing that all of us have sinned, we fall short, and therefore we've contributed, at least in some fashion, to the shape that the world is in, the question wouldn't be, why me? Why not me? Remember, folks, again, this isn't heaven where the valleys are done, they're gone, they're done away with. This is earth, and we still go through them. Another thing to remember is that valleys are temporary. Thank God. Should have had an amen on that one. Valleys are temporary. They don't last. There are ends to the valleys that we go through. Valleys are not permanent locations for us to live in. Remember what David said. He said, "Even though I walk through the valley." He didn't say, "I camp there." He didn't say, "I'm building a house there." He said, "I'm going through it, but I'm continuing to walk." It won't last forever. valleys are temporary. A lot of times when we go through valleys, we think that it's kind of like a dead end, but it's not. There's a way out. Some people's greatest verse in the Bible is, "And it came to pass." We're ready for it to pass. 1 Peter 1:6 says this, "There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is rough for a while down here." Peter admits that life is tough down here, but the day is coming when you won't be harassed by the hassles of life any longer. In heaven, think about it, folks. In heaven, there is no IRS. No governmental red tape, no long grocery lines, no flat tires, no unexpected bad news, no hurricanes, no sand spurs, no jellyfish, no floods, no death, no tears, no coronavirus. And face masks are not allowed in heaven. Even if you live down here 75, 85, 95 years, and you struggle, and there are some things that feel like they just go on forever, there'll be a time when they are gone. And 90 years down here is nothing compared to eternity with God when there are no more valleys. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:17. He said, "Our troubles are short-lived, and their outcome is an eternal glory which outweighs them all." Valleys are short-lived in comparison to eternity. Paul says that pain can be productive in life, that can benefit us. There's a fifth thing we need to remember about valleys, and that is that valleys are purposeful. Valleys are purposeful. God has a reason for taking us through the valleys of life. And your valley isn't a direct result of God's will for your life, if that's not the case, because sometimes Satan's involved, right? Not everything that's done down here is in accordance with God's will. Sometimes Satan is involved, and because of that, we go through a valley. But remember, when we even go through those kinds of valleys, God uses it to grow us. There is a purpose in it. Look at 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 7. "At the present, you may be temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials. This is no accident. It happened to prove your faith." All kinds of trials. God wants to build up our faith, and the greatest place to do that are in the valleys. Now, personally, I don't really care for the valleys. Not my style. It's my life, but not my style. I prefer the mountaintops. I prefer the times when we have great fellowship with God, great fellowship with God's people. I just love it up there. And God lets us go there sometimes. But then what does he do? He sends us back down because he has work for us to do, and he wants us to continue to grow and develop into the person that he wants us to be. And because God is a great steward, he will use every problem, every valley for a purpose. He will grow us. He will build us. He will renew us. He will challenge us. He will strengthen us. Remember, folks, God is far more interested in your holiness than your happiness. He's far more interested in your character than your comfort. He wants to develop you into the person that he wants you to be. So these are things we need to remember about the valleys of life. They're inevitable, they're unpredictable, they're impartial, they're temporary, and they're purposeful. So what do we do? We're all going to hit a valley. You might be in one now. If not, good for you. Rejoice, dance, have at it. Your valley's coming. Hey, that's what the Bible says. I'm just Blame God. You can't blame me. So what do you do in those dark valleys? Three things. Process your feelings and refuse to be discouraged. I mean, Christmas has got to be one of the happiest times in the entire year. It really is. But what if you're going through a valley at Christmas? How do you do that? How do you process that? We learn some things about how to do that. Process the feelings, refuse to be discouraged. Look what David said in Psalm 23, verse 4. I will fear no evil. Underline that word will. That's a matter of choice. I will. You know, God gives us the ability to do things, to make decisions. I will. David says, I will fear no evil. Since you can't go around the valley or under the valley or over the valley, since you must go through the valley, walk through it trusting in God, fearing no evil, refusing to become absolutely discouraged all the time. Will implies choice. You can choose to become discouraged all the time, or you can choose not to be. How do you not become discouraged in the valleys of life? By processing your problems, by focusing on God's power rather than the problems we're going through. I'm not saying ignore your feelings. I'm not saying pretend they don't exist. You look them straight in the eye and you begin to process them. You go through what you feel. You think about why you're feeling that way. If you get angry, get angry. If you're happy, be happy. Refuse to be discouraged for the long haul. Now, refusing to be discouraged is not equal to denial. Denial is a river in Egypt. It's not a strategy to cope with your problems. If you deny your problems, you're just heading for more of them. You don't deny it. You process it. Eventually, folks, when we're trying to do that, our human power and our energy is going to run out. Our human endurance is limited. So in the valleys of life, you need a power source greater than yourself, and that power source is God. Through Jesus. Process the feelings, refuse to be discouraged. Secondly, remember that God is with me even when I can't sense him. Even when I can't feel him, even when I have no idea that he's here and I'm wondering, God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? I don't know where you are. Even then, God is with you. Psalm 23, verse 4 again, for you, God, you, David says, you, God, you are with me. David says, no doubt, you are with me. God not only promises his power in the valleys, he promises his presence as well. You never go through a valley by yourself. You never have to go through a dark day alone. God is with you. Look at this verse in Isaiah 43. It's verse 2. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Alone, there are some things I'd rather not do by myself. I don't like to do these things alone. I don't like to go to a movie by myself. I don't like to get on big roller coasters by myself. I don't like to be in the vicinity of a snake or a mouse by myself. But if you put someone with me, I love going to a movie. I love getting on the roller coasters that are big and huge. And I might even touch a snake and a mouse. No, I'm not doing that. Sorry. No. Whenever I say stuff like this and I get a little vulnerable and I share that kind of stuff, inevitably one of you thinks, you just need to come up to me with a mouse and a snake. You really probably shouldn't do that. God himself is always with us. Isn't that the whole point of Christmas? The birth of Jesus? God, what? With us. That's incredible. I can't even wrap my head around that. That the God himself came to be with us. And he did it in a way to which we could relate. He came in the form of a human being, a person with skin on. A person who went through the same kind of life issues that we go through. God is with us. It's interesting, in the first part of Psalm 23, David uses the third person to refer to God. David said, "He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He guides me in the paths of righteousness." But when David gets here, down in the valley, he uses the second personal pronoun and stops talking about God and starts talking to God. He says, "You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There's a big difference in the concept of relationships when you start talking about somebody, he or she, and instead talk about them as you, personal. The personal God is with us. It's in the valleys of life that bring us face to face with God. And all of a sudden, the ultimate becomes the intimate, because when I'm going through the valleys, I don't want to talk about God. I want to talk to God. It's in the valleys when you say, "I can't take this anymore," that God becomes real to you. Remember, folks, you've heard it said before, but it's so true. You'll never know that God is all you need until he's all you got. And that happens in the valleys. God is with you. And third, another thing we can do. You can rely on God's protection and guidance. Psalm 23, verse 4 goes on to say, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The rod and staff were the two basic tools of a shepherd used to protect and guide the sheep. The rod was about 2 feet long, and it had a knot on the end of it. And the shepherds were very skilled at taking that rod and hurling it like a missile at anything that might hurt the sheep. Folks, when we go through valleys, God is going to defend us. When you go through the valley, God is not sitting in heaven unconcerned saying, "I hope you make it through it." The good shepherd fights for his sheep. And while you're fighting to make it through your valley, God is fighting with you and for you. And then they talk about the staff. The staff was a long stick with a crook in the end of it. And the shepherd used it to guide the sheep and to draw the sheep back into the fold and to pick the sheep up when they were down. When you go through valleys in your life, the scary parts are the shadows. David didn't say, when I walk through the valley of death. He said, when I walk through the shadow of the valley of death. When the shadows of the dark valley come your way, remember a few things. First of all, shadows are always bigger than the reality. We had an alley where I grew up in Baltimore. I grew up on Cortez Road, and they were row houses. This is back when row houses were really row houses. They were like, I grew up in a 742 square foot house. Skinny. They didn't care about sound. We had walls that were connected to walls that were connected to walls. I talked to my neighbors through the walls anytime I wanted to. We didn't even have to scream. And we had an alley, a back alley. And when I would walk down that alley at nighttime, we had one light in the alley, way up high. And when I started walking this way and the light got on my back, my shadow started being cast ahead of me. And every step I took, my shadow got bigger and longer. I was 10 feet tall. Shadows are always bigger than the reality. Secondly, shadows can't hurt you. Ever been run over by the shadow of an 18-wheeler on the interstate? In the interstate? Right by you. Did it hurt you? Nah. And the third thing you remember when you're going through the valley is that there's no shadow without light somewhere. There's no shadow without the presence of light somewhere. When you go through a valley, you may think the sun has stopped shining in your life. You're all alone and you're in total darkness. But anytime there's a shadow, there is light somewhere. When you're going through the valley of the shadows and you begin to fear, turn your back on the shadows and look toward the light. God is there. Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. Look at him. Psalm 34, verse 19 says this. The good man does not escape troubles. He has them too. But the Lord helps him in each and every one. Christians, non-Christians, both go through valleys. The difference is, for the Christian, God is there. The presence of the shepherd is there, who guides us and directs us and protects us. Some of you are going through valleys now. Probably has nothing to do with Christmas. You're just going through a valley. I get that. Been there. One of the hardest times in my life, one of the deepest valleys I ever went through. Well, you need to know a little bit about me. I grew up with just my dad and my brother. My mom left us when I was a little kid, just walked out, and my dad was not a good dad. He was not mature. He just wasn't a good dad. So my brother and I became very close at a young age. He was 2 years older than me, and he protected me. Even at a young age, he would hide me in the closets when my dad was going crazy and my mom was fighting and all of that. And David would take me and just take care of me. We stayed close growing up. Then my brother got saved, and I didn't like it, so we would fight about it. Now, I don't know how you fought growing up, but we fought. We had rules, can't hit in the face. But we fought. He would come home and tell me all this stuff about God and his love and Jesus, and I would just try and shut him up. He was 2 years older than me, so I didn't shut him up very much. And then I got saved about a year later. About the time I got saved, he had a backslid. He backslid. He didn't care about God anymore. So I was fighting him again. David was... Well, we both started walking with God, and we had a wonderful relationship. Close, I don't know I can be any closer to anyone growing up and family members like that. And he supported me in college. He would send me some money, got a good job at Baltimore Gas and Electric. And he would send me money in college. Now, he would just send me like $20, but when you're in college, that's a lot of money back in my day. Are you kidding me, $20? And we'd send notes to each other. I still have the long written notes we would send to each other. And then, when I was 33, my brother was 35, we're exactly 2 years apart minus one day. Almost right on the same day. Matter of fact, I think there were just hours between us, according to the birth certificates. One day my brother was driving in to work. He got called in. There was an emergency at Baltimore Gas and Electric, and he had to drive in some ungodly hour in the morning, and his car hit a patch of ice and pushed it up a hill and came back down in a truck. Nobody's fault. Just one of those accidents, and ran into him. And he didn't make it. One of the biggest valleys, I think. The biggest valley I've ever had to go through. And what just, I don't understand, but it created this terrible depression. I expected to be depressed for the whole first year, and I was. And then going into the second year after his death, I was still depressed. Going into the second and a half year, I was still depressed. And I'm talking clinical, down, can't get out of bed, depressed. And finally decided I need to go see a doctor. Went and saw a doctor, a psychiatrist. And because that's who you go see for those things, by the way, if you're struggling with it. Went and saw one. He said, well, you're depressed. I went, okay, here's your $200. So they put me on medication and all that. To say that was almost 30 years ago. And I still struggle with depression. And I don't mean I get down a little sometimes. I mean I get wiped out. Now, thankfully, that's my valley, by the way. It's not my only valley, but it is my valley. And I share that with you just because some of you are going through, if not a similar valley, you're going through a different valley, but we have a very hard time opening up to each other about stuff like that. Like, we're supposed to keep it all in and we don't let anybody see it. And, you know, is that really showing the joy of Jesus? It's showing the reality of life with Jesus in your heart, who helps us through even when we feel like we can't make it. So, sharing a message about making it through dark valleys at Christmas, that's real to me. And I know it's real for some of you. Some of you are still hurting. It may be a recent loss. It may have been something you went through years ago. It may be something that sometimes your brain tells you, you really shouldn't let that hurt you. Fine, maybe you shouldn't, but it does, right? And I just want to share with you that it's okay. You're not the only one going through valleys at Christmas. Maybe those of us who are valley people at Christmas should get together and just support each other. I think that might be a good idea. Maybe you should just give me a call, text me, email me, and work something out. because it's hard. Well, that kind of puts a bummer on the message. I actually think it adds life to it. The life where you and I live and we walk and we breathe and we do and we work and we go to school. Whenever I share a message like this, and if I share my story, inevitably, dozens of people contact me and say, thank you. Not because it's so great a story, but because they're going through something similar and they didn't know they could voice it. So, we're going to have a time of response and give you a chance to do almost whatever you want. Inside your bulletin, you should have received the card. If there are some prayer concerns, you can write on the back. You can do that. Check off the boxes if they apply to you. If you want to put your name on front, you can. A lot of times we get anonymous cards. We still pray. God knows who that is. We still pray for them. But if you want to let us know who you are, you can put that on the front. There's a box over here, a couple of boxes on the back, round table as you go out, Crossroads and Calvary. Doesn't matter which one you put these cards in. We all get together, Charles and us three, and we pray together over these. I don't care what box you drop it in. Just put it in there. You might want to come down this morning and just share. Charles and I will be standing here. We'll be glad to pray with you about whatever it is you have a concern over. Maybe you want to go to the cross. There are some sheets of paper over there, and you can just write down. Maybe you just put down the valley you're struggling with. Here's the valley, God. Here it is. Help me through it. Or maybe you want to thank God for having brought you through a valley. Or maybe you want to thank God that you're not in a valley right now. I mean, that's where you ought to be doing the dancing and stuff. Enjoy it while it's there. Maybe you just want to put that and just nail that paper to your cross. So nobody looks at those sheets. That's between you and God. Just nail it to the cross. Go back to your seat. Maybe you just want to stay where you are. You can stand and sing. You can sit and sing. You can be quiet. You can pray. Whatever you want to do. And we have stations around the sanctuary. There are three stations. You can go take communion. You'll get the juice and the wafer all in the same kit. And you can sit back down. You can do it at the station or sit down where you are. And just make that a time where you thank Jesus for coming into the world and you eat the bread. And you thank Jesus for dying on the cross for you and shedding his blood, and you drink the juice. Whatever you want to do during this response time, we're going to let you do. The band's going to come up in a minute, and they're going to lead us through this response song. Hang in there, because after that, we got one more great song of worship, and then we'll dismiss. Okay? All right. Pray with me if you will, please. God, I want to thank you for the fact that your word is so real. You tell us about valleys because you knew ever since Adam and Eve sinned and they broke perfect fellowship with you, you knew we were going to go through valleys. And so your word tells us to expect them and to trust you through them. They're real. And they sting a little more at Christmas time because of all the joy and happiness going on, and that's good and right. But for some folks, it makes it a little bit more difficult for them to get through the holidays. May you bless all of us, whether we're going through a valley now or not, to be ready for the next one and to allow you to help us through. Thank you for your love and your grace, your mercy, your strength. Now bless our time of response for everybody here, whether it's a response in their mind and heart, they move or don't move. Make it be a time where we feel a little more close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray, shall we? Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that your message has been able to give us some strength to take throughout the rest of the week. May we not forget these words of Psalms chapter number 4. May we not trust in our deceptive emotions, Lord, that tell us that you're done with us, or that, Lord, you push us away when things go wrong. but that you are a forgiving God. You're a loving God. You forgive us. All of our transgressions, we confess them to you. Lord, you clean us up. You move us along. You give us a hope. We thank you for our salvation in Jesus Christ. There's a world out there, Lord, that still needs to hear the gospel message that Jesus loves them, despite anything they've done in their life. Please give us the strength that we need this week as we take this message and apply it to our hearts. May the world who does not know you yet see that applied in our lives. May they want what we have because they see you and you alone, Jesus, in our lives. The world needs to see that you are still the hope of the world. It's why we celebrate Christmas. We don't want to miss that, Lord. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Romans 5:8 tells us that you proved that you loved us when we were yet in our sins. And you died for us. Thank you so much for loving us when we were not at our best. And Lord, just help us. In those valleys, give us strength to go through them. Help us to help others. And we love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church.